Thank you, Mitch, January, Rome, for leading us in worship this morning. Welcome to Evergreen Baptist Church of Los Angeles. I'm Pastor Jason. I'm a senior pastor here and want to welcome you on this very warm summer Sunday. Some of you, as you walked into the main part of the sanctuary here, you had a little treat. You realized that there were some tables in your rows. And if you're like me, you kind of see it and you're not sure what to do. So you're kind of like, somebody put a table in my row. Those are for you to enjoy to make the sanctuary feel a little bit more home-like. And so you can put your coffee cups on there. Don't tell Lester, our facilities manager. Rather have them be on the table than on the floor where you can knock it over. But those are for you to enjoy, to put your Bibles on, to make the area feel a little bit more homely. Before we start, what I want to do is I want to ask you to turn to somebody that you did not come with, someone who hopefully is not your friend, that's weird now. I messed it up. You're going to be like, hey, you're not my friend. Come here. Turn to someone that hopefully you don't know, or someone that you know the least out of the people sitting around you, and I want you to share this with them. What do you look for in a friend? Okay? So go ahead, turn to someone is around you and ask them, what do you look for in a friend? All right. I hope you were able to find somebody. All right, people. Stop being so friendly. We need to get this service on the road. I'm glad you guys are talking, though. That's if you come here and you don't have any human interaction, then I feel like we've sort of failed you. So that's good that you guys are talking, especially in a church like this where we tend to be more reserved. So I encourage that. But hopefully you were able to talk to somebody that was not your friend, so you didn't offend them when you're like, oh, yeah, I look for this in a friend. Oh, you don't have that. You don't have that quality. And you're able to share sort of maybe one or two qualities that you look for in a friend. See, friendship actually it's an ancient thing, right? As human beings, companionship, friendships, relationships are so important to the fabric of how God created us. And people have been writing about friendship for generations, for ages. Actually, one of the best known most popular books throughout human history was written by a Roman philosopher named Cicero. And some of you may have known him. He's often featured in various TV shows things about ancient Rome. But he wrote this book called, let's see, is it up there? There it is. How to Be a Friend, An Ancient Guide to True Friendship. And in this book, he details a lot of things, and I'll read to you just a few things so that you guys can have pointers on how to make friends in your own life. First of all, one of the things he says is only good people can be true friends. So all you true friends out there, you're good people. There are different kinds of friendships. He says that we should choose our friends with care. That's important. He says that friends make you actually a better person because no one can thrive in isolation. He says, make new friends, but keep the old, because there's something about old friends that really enrich your life. He says, friends are honest with each other. And he says, the reward of friendship is actually friendship itself. He says, a friend never asks another friend to do something wrong. And friendships actually can change over time. And those of us who've had long friendships know that. And he also says, without friends, life is not worth living. I ended on a harsh one. I'm sorry about that. But I think what he's trying to communicate is the fact that these relationships in our lives, they're really helpful to us. They're important to us. They provide a kind of support network and community around an individual to give their life a lot of meaning, to give their life a lot of love, and surround us with the type of things that I think God wants for us. Now, we're going to be talking a little bit about friendships and relationships and family because we're in the book of Philemon. And if you were here with us last week, we introduced this series, which is just a 3-week series. So we're right in the middle of it right now today. And it's a sermon mini series, but we thought it was really important going through Philemon because Philemon actually talks about these relationships that we have with each other. And Philemon actually is a book that or a letter that the Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon, and he's talking about this relationship between Philemon, who was a fairly wealthy slave owner, and his runaway slave, Onesimus. And Paul is actually trying to reintroduce Onesimus into the community where Philemon is in Colossae, and he's writing about how these two people, how Paul wants these two people to come together again, and kind of the dynamics of their new relationship. Last week, we introduced the concept or the word koinonia. Koinonia being the word that is commonly used in churches to mean fellowship. But last week, we talked about how it means more than just like a social gathering of church people around some coffee and donuts, but it actually means partnership and participation. So there's this level of commitment in koinonia, in these relationships in the church family that requires people to give a lot of themselves, but also benefits the people that are in these relationships in return. And Paul uses this term to begin to build a foundation for his argument to Philemon. And so last week in that first introduction, we talked about how Paul was building that argument, saying like, this koinonia, this fellowship, the fellowship of the faith that you share, Philemon, this is going to help you understand every good thing that we share in Christ. And this week, we're going to move into the second section of this letter. And Paul's going to move further into his argument until the last week, next week, when we actually talk about when he makes the big ask. And so this week, he begins to be a little bit bolder in his language to Philemon. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Philemon? There's only one chapter, so we're going to just start at verse 8. It says this. Paul says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. And so Paul, as he's writing this, he sort of reveals kind of what's been happening with Onesimus and Philemon. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. As something happened, though. We're not actually sure what the scriptures don't really detail us. Some people think that maybe Onesimus stole something from Philemon and then didn't want to get in trouble, so he left. He ran away from Philemon's house, because it was a master-slave relationship. Maybe Philemon just treated him poorly, and Onesimus was trying to get away from kind of the cruel treatment or the life that was in this house, even though Philemon himself was a Christian, and there was an entire church living in or meeting in this household. And so when Onesimus escapes, he runs and he somehow connects with Paul, who's in prison for Jesus. And as he meets Paul and interacts with him, perhaps maybe in the city of Ephesus, Onesimus gives his life to Jesus Christ and he becomes a Christian. And so he begins serving with Paul in this other area. And now Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. Now, for Onesimus, that's got to be really nerve-wracking because he's going back to the slave master or the slave owner that he ran away from. In that day and age, I mean, to do something like that would have been massive repercussions. And so there must have been a lot of anxiety on Onesimus's part. Paul actually sends another person with Onesimus to Colossae because he wants this whole interaction to go well. And so Paul, he dives into this appeal. He mentions that he could be bold. He says, I could be bold and order you, Philemon, to do what you should be doing. And perhaps it's his status as an apostle that he's appealing to, that Paul's talking about, or perhaps it's just sort of his seniority in the Christian community. Maybe Philemon actually owes Paul something because of something he did. But Paul has this sort of position of power, and he sort of mentions it to Philemon, real tricky kind of in a way, you know, like, oh, I could force you to do something, but I won't because I'm nice. So Paul sort of says this. He says, I could force you, but I won't. Why doesn't Paul pull rank with Philemon? Because you think, like, you know, that'd be the easiest thing to do. Hey, I'm the leader here, or I'm the senior here. I'm the one that's in a higher position than you. You should do this, Philemon. Easy, simple. Maybe Philemon be like, okay, sure, I'll do it. You know, do what you say. But Paul doesn't do that. He says, I could, but I won't. And here's why. He says, Philemon, I want you to welcome back Onesimus willingly. In verse 14, he says, I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. It's like when you try to force a kid to say sorry. You know, we're kind of dealing with that with our kids right now. We're just trying to teach them, like, hey, after you do something, just get used to saying sorry. You know, we want that word to be comfortable on your lips. And the goal is that we want our kids to feel remorse and want to apologize, right? You hope as a parent that when your kid's like 25, that they're not just like, you know, okay, sorry, and not feeling anything, but that it's like there's something like deep within their heart where the apology is coming from, especially when they apologize to their parents. But that's what Paul's doing. He's saying, like, I want this to come from you. I don't want this to be forced because I want what's about to happen, what happens between you and Onesimus, I want that to be from you, not because I've pulled rank. And so Paul wants Philemon to welcome Onesimus back and do it out of the goodness and the kindness of his own heart. In other words, it's not enough that Philemon and Onesimus actually just reunite and worship in the same church. Paul says, I want there to be more than just a reunification of you two. I want there to be more than just you two worshiping in the same house church. I want there to be more than just you two worshiping in the same house church and being of the same status. I want you to have a friendship. I want you to have a relationship. I want there to be some sort of love between you. Because if that doesn't happen, then what we're talking about, the koinonia fellowship, the love of Christ, what Christ came to do for all of humanity, that's just all out the window if you guys don't love each other. And so Paul makes this appeal, I want you to be family. I want you to have these kinds of friendships and relationships where you actually care for the other person. Because we all know that we can be family with somebody but not care. We all know that we can be under the same roof with somebody and not want to be there. For those of us who've maybe gone off to college and had a roommate that we didn't quite like as much, maybe, you know, you've had that experience where you're lying in bed and you're like, oh man, when's the school year going to end? Because there's someone in your room that makes you feel uncomfortable, and it just doesn't feel like home because you don't want to be living with this person. But you're living under the same roof. Living under the same roof doesn't mean those relationships are going to be good. And so Paul is concerned not just about Philemon and Onesimus being reunited. He's concerned about the relationship that they have with each other. And I think in doing this, in the way that Paul approaches this, he actually demonstrates what the authority of Christ looks like in our lives. You see, he has this authority, but instead of using it to force things upon people, Paul says, I give up that authority because I want what happens here to be natural. I want it to be driven not by coercion, but by love. I feel like when we look at the cross, that's really the story that we talk about, right? And so even in this letter that where Paul doesn't really talk explicitly about the cross, Paul, as we read this letter, we find that he demonstrates the story of the gospel in his actions and in the ways that he interacts with Philemon and Onesimus. Instead of forcing Philemon, Paul frees Philemon to make his own choice. He appeals to love rather than duty and trusts that God is going to speak to his life. Jesus never forces a choice on us. And so Paul says this interesting thing in verse 15. He says, perhaps the reason that Onesimus was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. You know the word separated there? You kind of wonder, like, oh, why didn't Paul just say, oh, perhaps the reason Onesimus ran away from you? But he says, uses this term separated. And in the Greek, what that word communicates, it leaves open the very real possibility that this is divine action. And so, as Paul says, the reason why Onesimus was separated from you, he's really kind of saying, the reason that God took him away. You see, he weaves into this letter this story that God has been involved in this whole thing. And that perhaps all these events that have transpired were not the cause just of the human players involved, but that this God, the Father of Jesus Christ, is orchestrating all of these things so that eventually Onesimus can come back, and he says this, and I love it, he says, so that he can be back forever. He was the one who took Onesimus, and now he is the one reunited him. And the purpose of bringing him back is so that he will be reincorporated into the church and the household in an entirely different way. And as Paul says in verse 16, Onesimus, is now no longer a slave. He came to me. He gave his life to Jesus. Now he's no longer a slave. He's better than a slave. He's a dear brother. This is how you reincorporate him. He's very dear to me, Paul says, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow human being and as a brother, as a sibling in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, Onesimus, when he returns to you, he doesn't come back a slave. This is a different person you're interacting with. He doesn't come back a servant of you or of the community that you're a part of or as property of anyone. He comes back as a brother. He comes back as a friend. He comes back as family. He's one of you. And this is what the whole letter is about. Philemon and Onesimus have been estranged as owner and slave, and Paul is bringing them together, and he's telling Philemon, see, he's the same as you. You thought he was different, but no. He's the same now. If you didn't think so before, now he definitely is. And I hope you treat him that way. You know, when I think about the story of Philemon and Onesimus, it reminds me of the journey of a lot of our people here at Evergreen from the Open Door. You know, for a long time, the church overall has treated the LGBTQ community really poorly, and we can all agree on that. But at our church, over the past decade, we've seen God bring a lot of LGBTQ Christians here to Evergreen through the ministry of the Open Door, And what we believe here is that if we confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, then you're part of the family. That our faith is based on that confession alone. And that's an ancient confession that we agree to. As I read this story, it reminds me of some of the stories that I've heard in the Open Door. And as I meet some of these wonderful people in the ministry, I realize that so many of them have Onesimus journeys. See, God is reintroducing them to the church. And it feels like he's telling us, as maybe the church that was here before, the group that was here before, you need to start treating each other or relating to each other differently. You see, it's not like these are new people. These are family. Like, this is family that's coming back to you. And so even though historically they may have been treated differently, now, like, they're part of you. They're one of you. And I see so many similarities in this story of Philemon and Onesimus, and it helps me to understand what God's been doing here at this church. God is reintroducing these siblings to the church, and it feels like he's giving us that message. They're one of you. For a while, the church forced them to run away, but now God is bringing them back to us, and we can't treat each other the same as the church has treated each other and treated them in the past. We have to treat each other like family. And I think that's what Paul's saying in the text, you know? These people that have confessed Christ, like Onesimus, you treat them like friends and like family. Now, it's important that as a whole church, we know these Onesimus stories. And I want to introduce to you this morning two of my friends from the Open Door, Kathy and Aaron, one of the young adult couples in the Open Door. So let me invite Kathy and Aaron up. And I just asked Kathy and Aaron to come up to share a little bit about their individual journeys, their journey as a couple here to Evergreen, and then talk a little bit about how they have begun to find Evergreen now as home. So, yeah. Push it up.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Hi, everyone. I'm Erin. Just a little bit about my background. I grew up at a Chinese Southern Baptist church. And for me, church was like my everything, basically, like my family, my community, my friends. And I think a big part of my identity was wrapped up in my old home church. And so just growing up in church, you know, I wanted to make my parents proud. You know, I became a youth group leader. I was very committed to the church. And then, you know, once I realized I was queer, basically everything had to change. And so I realized, like, I needed to leave that old home church.
So my background, hi, everybody, I'm Kathy. My background is different, right? I was raised Catholic, and church was not my everything. Church was a thing I went to for an hour on Sundays to make my parents happy, okay? Church was, you know, like, faith in my relationship to God was very personal. It was very much in here, but it was something that was very much for me only. It was not something I shared with the faith community. I actually kind of resented the church because I felt like they took my parents away. It was around the time I was 11 years old, my parents took a much more active role in their church, and I just distinctly remember having much less time with my parents, and a lot more meatball dinners, you know, because they were rushing out the door. So I told myself that church wasn't something I wanted or needed. And then 8 years ago, I met Erin, and that had to change because she said, I want a partner who's willing to walk into a church life with me.
Well, I wasn't like in the business of dragging people to church, basically.
And I was open to it, right? I was like, okay. You know, like, I believe in God. I'm just not sure I believe in the church. but you're telling me that it might be different. You're telling me that this is important to you, so I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah, so I left my old home church, and then for a time I didn't go to church really at all. And I guess the precipitating event to come to Evergreen was I actually dropped out of law school, and there's like a number of reasons for that. But one of the reasons is, I just felt like I wasn't secure in myself. And one reason is because, I'm used to being part of a church community. And so not having that makes me feel like I have a hole in my heart, and I felt like I was like spiritually homeless, like I didn't belong anywhere. And, so dropping out of law school, I was like, well, I think I need to find, I'm open to finding a new church.
But it had to be a very specific church, okay? Not just any church. It had to be Asian American. It had to be evangelical. Oh, and it had to be progressive enough to accept us. I was like, where are we going to find this church?
So I recognize that that's a very big ask. It's kind of extra, but, the heart wants what the heart wants, and I feel that to respect my parents and to respect like who I am as a person, I'm not trying to like throw out everything I ever like knew, like throw out the baby with the bathwater. So I basically read Pastor Ken's blog post, and it was "Where Are You Gay Christians?" And then that's how I, found out about Evergreen. And we actually went to this UCLA PRISM event, which is the LGBT Christian group at UCLA. And Pastor Ken was going to be there because I saw that he RSVP'd on the Facebook event. So we both went, and I saw him, but I didn't want to talk to him because even though he was the reason why he was coming to church, because he's a pastor, so that's, scary. So, yeah, I didn't want to talk to him, but then Kathy was like, oh, look, there's Pastor Ken. Let's go talk to him. So she basically dragged me to him.
So I walked up to him, right, holding her hand, dragging Aaron behind me. And I was like, Pastor Ken, here we are, with like no pretense whatsoever. I was like, here we are, Pastor Ken. We read your blog post, "Where Are You Gay Christians?" Aaron read it. Hi.
Yeah, so that was really embarrassing. And so that was like 4 years ago. And yeah, we've been basically coming to Evergreen and the Open Door ever since.
So those 4 years have seen us through a lot, right? We've celebrated birthdays and graduations. I passed the boards. Aaron passed the bar. Yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank God. Thank God. So we've celebrated all these things, but we've also shared, stories of grief and loss. A lot of our friends share their stories about coming out and what that's meant to their family. We've also talked about the Bible and what that means for LGBTQ people. We've talked about the clobber passages, but in talking about all those things, we've affirmed our faith, not just in each other, but in God. We have these wonderful, wonderful people who we think of as Todd moms, who are just so wonderfully affirming and loving, that they fill those spaces in a way that our parents aren't filling because they're not walking that path with us. And I forgot to mention as a little bit of a preface before, again, growing up Catholic, when I first came here, this was very strange, okay? I was like, what is this music? We pray differently. Like, I don't close my eyes when we pray. I don't really pray out loud. Like, all of it was very strange. But it was those first just couple months of coming to the Open Door and just meeting the people there and finding the community there. And I just wanted more and more of it. And then one day I walked up to Marian Tanabe and I was like, because at first I was just coming for Aaron, right? And I told everybody that. And so I walked up to her one day and was like, Marian, can I come here without Aaron? Like, do I, like a former Catholic, belong here? And her eyes just got really wide, and she hugged me really tight, and she said, of course you belong here. And this has been family and home ever since.
Yeah, so I guess just, being here at Evergreen for the past 4 years, I just feel so much happier. I feel like my whole world is opened up. Like, I have all these options that I didn't have before. I mean, I don't know what these options are. Like, I don't get any discounts or, like, Disneyland passes. So that is still nebulous. But, you know, I just feel like I found a home here. I feel that I belong in a family. And, like, you know, when we sing worship songs, I feel the same joy that I felt before. You know, I think there's still some sadness there, but, you know, I feel, like, close to God. And I can wear shorts here without judgment, so I like that.
We're so progressive here.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I think, like, one thing that's different from my old home church with this church is I feel that, you know, it's like we're on a faith journey instead of, like, a faith destination, and I feel that I am fine as I am, and I don't need to fit people's expectations of, like, what a Christian should be, you know? And I think growing up in the church, I always knew I was part of the family of God, but when I wasn't going to church, I felt like that was just, like, true in theory, you know? But coming to Evergreen, I feel that I believe and I feel that I am part of the family of God. And, you know, basically I've now since, like, reclaimed my birthright into the family of God.
This was the very first place where Aaron and I put down roots as a couple in a faith community. It's the very first place where I've actually been part of a church where I look around me and I see the faces of people who know me and care about me and who I care about. This place is the very first place where I was able to experience God, not just by myself, not just in here, but with other people. And it's only because this church has accepted me for who I am and for who I love that I've been able to experience God with all of you. It's really sad when a lot of queer kids come out, they have to leave their church. But for me, it was falling in love with Aaron. It was realizing that I was gay that brought me into this church and helped me experience God in a way that I never have before. So that's what the open door, that's what Evergreen mean to us. And that's how it's become our family and our community.
Thank you so much, Aaron, Kathy, for sharing your journey and the way that God has woven your story into ours. I feel like as we look at this passage, as we look at this letter to Philemon, like Paul's words ring so true in my heart, and I hope in the hearts of our congregation, where we want to be a place where you continue to feel like this is home, where everybody in the open door continues to feel like this is home, where Mary and Tsunave's words become all of our words. And I think, like, we want to grow into a church where we feel like we belong to each other, you know? Like, you're one of us and we're one of you. And we have this sort of deep connection, which I think Paul is talking about when he talks about koinonia. That's what he's talking about, where we feel like we want to protect you and you guys feel like you want to protect us. And all of a sudden, the two, maybe what was once two groups is no longer two groups. It's just one family. And I think, like, that's what I think God has placed upon my heart. And maybe some of you are out there and you're like, oh, wow, like, you know, in regards to this issue, I still don't know what I think. But the call, I think, from the scripture is first to love. And I feel like anybody can start there. Anybody can do that. And as we begin to love and form relationships, then that's when I think God begins to speak to us and direct our actions more and weave us together as a family. And so I want to thank you guys for sharing your story. Can we give them a round of applause? And I think I want to just transition this time and, like, let's just take some time to pray, because I feel like I want to allow God just to continue to speak to us through maybe what you've heard through Aaron and Kathy and maybe what's been kind of stirring in your heart, and we just let the Spirit speak. Jesus, we thank you so much that you have allowed us to be a church family that is diverse beyond our control. We thank you so much for all the people in the open door that have been led to this place through your Spirit. We thank you for the allies and the advocates and the mama bears that have been part of this community to protect them and to provide them a place of safety. We thank you for the ministry itself, its leadership, and the core team that continues to care over these wonderful people. And we recognize, Lord, and confess that Evergreen itself is still on a journey, and that, Lord, this is, some of us in this room are still sort of figuring out things. And we want to recognize, Lord, and give you space to continue to work in our hearts, to allow you to speak to us, to allow you to change us, to allow you to comfort us. But we do feel, Lord, I do feel the call from what Paul says in this letter, from just the message that we all sort of confess together as one body that we find in the cross, that those who confess your name, that those who acknowledge that you are Lord and Savior, the blood that covers over each of us is what makes us family. And as family, we want to reflect that in the relationships that we have. And so I pray for this congregation and this church that you would gather us together under your wings, and that under your wings we might find each other, we might begin to build the types of relationships and friendships that would unite us, that would draw us closer together, that we would begin to look at each other and say, hey, you're one of us. That everybody who comes here, who confesses that same name of Jesus Christ, would sense and feel such, like they're such an integral part of your family. And so we continue to pray for our friends in the open door. We continue to pray for ourselves as a congregation. Lead us, Lord. Teach us, guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.